This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is the Fast Break Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Ricky Whitmer.
What's up, guys?
And Dave Oster.
Hey, everybody.
And today, we are going to be talking about the Phoenix Suns. Brian McDonough, the GM of the Suns, coming out saying that they're open to trading the number one overall pick. We're going to discuss about that. Then, a report coming from Sporting News talks about the Memphis Grizzlies being open to trading the fourth overall pick. We're going to talk about that as well. And then, recently, like probably 15 minutes ago, a report came out from Bleacher Report saying that it was a report on the Zach Lowe podcast that Kat and the Timberwolves relationship is a little bit icy, and they might be throwing Kat's name into trade rumors. So we're going to talk about all that here on the Fast Break Podcast. We're going to open up with Wet Boys of the Week, but before we do that, please check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. If you want to be on a podcast, you want to help support us, go over to patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. It means so much to us from all of our patrons who are currently patrons. It means so much if you who are not a patron would go and check us out and possibly think about supporting us. Also, head over to mostvaluablepodcast.com if you want to rep some MVP merch. We got a black and white shirt, a classic MVP shirt. It's real sleek, so if you want to buy some MVP merch and rock that out, go over to mostvaluablepodcast.com. Also, if you're listening on iTunes, rate us 5 stars there. The Fast Break Podcast, the Primetime Podcast, the Onside Kick, the Rick and Johnny Podcast, and a Graphic Conversation. It helps us out in loads and bunches. And also, just one other throw out there, 11,500 subscribers. We are so close. We want to thank you guys for helping us grow, having 2 great months back-to-back, and we hope we're able to continue that trend. But boys, let's jump into Wet Boys. We're talking about the dampest of dudes, the wettest of boys, the moistest of men, the soggiest of shooters. It felt like we haven't done this in so long because we just did 2 hours of a draft podcast. But we are talking about Wet Boys, guys that absolutely popped off over the past week in the NBA playoffs. We're going to jump in with Ricky Whitmer's pick. Ricky, who is your Wet Boy of the Week?
Before I say who my Wet Boy is, I just want to give, it's kind of an honorable mention, but it was just who I was debating. It was either this person or Jaylen Brown. I said I can't give it to a Celtic again, so I went back with Kevin Durant. I mean, he is a guy where I know game two was more of like, we're just going to let Kevin Durant do what he does.
Do what
but
he do.
Game one, do he went he out do. There and completely dominated. Basically said, Chris Paul, anybody, I don't care who's defending me. I'm going to go to my spot by the elbow. I'm going to shoot that shot, and it's going to go in almost every time. So Kevin Durant, he's going to be the reason why they win this series in 6 games.
There was one thing that DP keeps saying, Dan Patrick keeps saying, that James Harden is the most unstoppable offensive player right now in the NBA. But I keep looking at Kevin Durant. Yeah. And it's just like, you can't guard him. You can't guard him no matter what. And he just walked, it was one play, even they were down, I think like 12 in the last game where the Rockets won. Mm-hmm. He just walked up and just fired up a three. That guy's 7 feet tall and just draining threes.
It like seems, you can't stop him. He's one of the greatest scorers ever.
Well, it seems like you can tire out James Harden. You can't tire out Kevin Durant.
Well, and I think the one thing too, James Harden like will be able to do what he wants, but you cannot guard Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like James Harden has more facilitating abilities. Obviously, he's great at driving. I think he's probably a little bit better at driving than KD. But KD's no slouch at doing that. And KD's just an unreal shooter.
Well,
so
it's like Jalen Rose calls him. He's a professional scorer, baby.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's unreal. Dave, you have a familiar face, but not a player this week.
I got the man with the plan. I got Brad Stevens taking the Celtics to, at the moment, a 2-0 lead over the Cavs and just honestly embarrassing the Cavs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a team of young talent and a good mix of veterans on top to keep everything together. Nothing but respect for this man and what he's gotten this team to do. Honestly, I don't think anyone saw this series going this way. I'd love to see it continue. I'd love to see what happens if he gets into the finals against either one of these Western Conference teams. I'm floored with what he's able to do. I'm honestly floored.
It's been insane so far, and we're now talking about him possibly overtaking Pop, overtaking Kerr as the current best coach in the NBA. It seems sacrilegious to say, you know, Brad Stevens is better than Greg Popovich, but the way Stevens has his boys performing in the playoffs is absolutely unreal.
I told you guys last week, if he makes it to the finals without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, he will be number one on my coach's rankings.
I don't know. It would pain me to get rid of Pop being up there. And you know, Steve Kerr has been doing a great job, but I still feel weird even even putting Kerr at number one, I think, too.
No rings. All I'm saying, Brad, you got to get there.
But is it recency bias when we do these rankings? Is it recency bias on what have you done to us lately? So, I mean, that's why Steve Kerr has been above Pop. That's why Brad Stevens is now being, you know, put up there in Pop. I mean, all time, it's not even close. Pop is, you know, one of the best, if not the
Clearly,
best.
Clearly, Pop is the reason why Kawhi's not coming back to the Spurs, though. So, I mean, we gotta notch him down a couple.
Anyways, my wet boy of the week, and I just realized I spelled his name wrong on the original write-up of this this wet boy. So we're going to have to redo this, but it's Marcus Morris of the Boston Celtics. Marukes Morris. We might just leave it. It'd be funny if I just left it. Marcus Morris, 17 points per game, 8 total rebounds, 2 assists. Shot 46% from the field, 50% from 3. Actually shot like a pretty decent amount. It took like, I think, 8 threes in total over the past two games, shooting 50%. So he's been a plus on the offensive end. But where it matters is the defensive end. And we're talking about him versus LeBron James.
The LeBron stopper.
LeBron this series against Marcus Morris. He has 56 plays, only 11 points, 4 of 14 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3 against others. LeBron in this series, 41 points, 16 of 28 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3. Marcus Morris has been doing his job, and we talked about that being a massive key in the Eastern Conference Finals previews that we did. And so far, Marcus Morris has been doing his job, and shout out to him. He deserves the wet boy for the performance that he's been giving so far in the first two games of the Eastern Conference Finals. But let us know who your wet boys are down below. And I do want to throw this out there, because Ricky threw this out there in on Twitter, that the top three wet boys were also the three finalists for the MVP.
Yeah, the top three from the regular season, LeBron, AD, and Harden. They were 1, 2, 3, probably what they should be for the MVP.
I don't know. James Harden had a great season, even though we gave our wet boy wet boy honor of the year to LeBron James. James Harden still, you know, had a phenomenal year. We can't take that away from him. Most likely will be the MVP because he came up with the shoe. But anyways, let us know who you have for your wet boy of the week down in the comments below. All right, but we're going to move into our topics for the week. We have all trade talk this week. The Suns, the Grizzlies, and Karl Anthony Towns. We're going to jump into the first one. Phoenix Suns general manager Ryan McDonough says he is open to relinquishing his prized place in the NBA's draft cat bird seat for the right return. What the hell is this article, ESPN? In an interview on ESPN's 2 NBA Draft Combine special on Friday, the Suns haven't ruled out the option of dealing away the number one pick in June's draft for a lower pick or even a worthy veteran. We're certainly open to that. We'll consider it. Obviously, we'll have more information closer to the draft than we do today after we go through the workout process and the interview process, and we get the medical physicals. So we're open to that. So, throwing it out there, Ryan McDonough is open to trading the number one overall pick. And Ricky, when you first, you know, threw this out there, you first mentioned this before we were recording, I just had the immediate reaction of, oh no. Like, I think this would be the worst scenario for the Phoenix Suns. I think this is a terrible idea. Again, maybe again, you know, the fact that he's considering it, that's fine. You should be a GM doing your due diligence. But I think you should not be trading this pick if you are the Phoenix Suns. Are you guys in the same boat? We'll go to Ricky first. Are you in the same boat as me that this could be a potential disaster for Phoenix?
No, I am on the complete other side of the fence. And the reason why is I'm going to continue the quote that you just read where he goes on to say, I think if you look around the NBA, as far as veteran players, there are now probably a few players we'd consider trading the pick for, not just pick for player number one, so it'll be a busy month for us. That's what I think the Suns are going to do. The Suns have young talent. The Suns are only trading this pick if they get a veteran a la Kawhi Leonard. But, not saying he's the one, but that's what I'm saying. They would need a veteran that is worth the number one pick.
But in my eye, and maybe this goes back to Igor, I'm not even going to try his last name because apparently I can't get it right, no matter what. Igor Koshkovo, there he goes, the only time we have it. But Igor threw out that he really believes in Devin Booker's playmaking abilities, Dave. And Devin Booker last year had a career high in assist numbers. I think he averaged near 5 assist point per game. I think maybe it was 4.7 assists per game. But boiling that down, I mean, he thinks that, you know, Devin Booker can be a playmaker, so maybe D-Book ends up playing the one. Then they move Josh Jackson to the two, and then you bring in a guy like Kawhi to play the three. And then obviously we know, you know, Dragon Bender had a nice end of the season. You still have Marquise Chris. I just think you need to add on to this youthful movement. Just keep this team young and let them grow and develop under a new head coach instead of bringing in a veteran that's going to speed that process up. I mean, you know, Ricky's again saying it couldn't hurt because you already have young talent, but I think you just need to embrace that young talent, especially after you had the number one pick and your team looked terrible last year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on this one, Sean. I think that adding... Oh, really, Ricky?
I gave the, like, no shocker there.
The We Agree podcast agrees again. I'm sorry. The fact is, adding a veteran speeds up the timeline. Adding a veteran means that this team's going to have to try to compete. And yes, you are trying to keep Devin Booker happy. That's the only reason I could see them go this route, is to make sure that Devin Booker is going to resign with them long term. Because if he loses for four straight years, why would he want to take that deal? Money being on the table, I get it. But like, I could see him being upset at being a losing franchise continually year after year, even while being an excellent young player. I think that if you go for the youth, you take, you know, what is touted to be the number one pick in this draft with Ayton, you lock down that five, and you would be happy that you have money and you have young talent, and everything is rolling up the right way for you.
Well, and we throw this out there. We're going to throw this out there on the cat topic is that, you know, while Karl Anthony Towns might be upset, or Devin Booker might be upset with the current way the franchise is going.
Different reasons, but yes.
But I'm just saying, if just two young stars that are upset with their organizations, yeah. Saying Devin Booker again would be upset for losing for four straight seasons. We're not saying he is, but if he does become that way. Phoenix still has the ability to control where he goes. He's still an RFA. They'll still be able to match any offer and match any money that's thrown at Devin Booker. So it's really not unlikely that Devin Booker will be leaving unless he decides just not to play if he is signed under contract for Phoenix. So again, I just look at this and saying you can't speed up that process. You can't really alter the way things are going. Dave, I'm going to go back to you because you mentioned a little bit of money. Yeah. One thing that, you know, has been brought up in our comments sections, and we'll talk about this is the Suns. You know, Clint Capella is going to, you know, be up and up for a contract this year, and Houston doesn't have a lot of cap room. Something that's been thrown out there because the Suns do have the number one overall pick and they'll have some flexibility. Mm-hmm. What if you throw money at Clint Capella? He's your five. You put Dragan Bender at your four because, again, he could be that stretch four.
Yep.
At that three, you draft a guy in, Luka Doncic. Again, he has that connection with Igor. Then at the two, you have Josh Jackson. At the one, you have Devin Booker if you believe in his playmaking ability. And then, again, Doncic can even take over that at points of the game as well. I think that is more of a solid-proof plan, especially with Clint Capella's age, than going out and getting a guy in Kawhi Leonard who has said that he's upset in the current situation he's in. That situation is a third seed consistently in the Western Conference with no stars. So why would he go to Phoenix, which is right now a worse franchise than
by
San Antonio?
Far.
I don't think anyone's disagreeing that. Yep. With less stars, with a worse coach so
Dev
far.
Devin Booker and LaMarcus Aldridge about on the same level as far as stardom, I would say.
Okay, but I mean, one's an NBA veteran and one's Devin Booker, who's still very young.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think it's too bad to say that LaMarcus Aldridge has proved more than Devin Booker
year.
So far.
I mean, yeah.
Again, I'm just saying, though, what the whole thing has been is that he wants to go to Kawhi Leonard, wants to go to a big market with stars.
Yeah, Phoenix isn't either of those.
This is not that. So, I mean, I don't understand what star you could bring on and help this team.
Yeah, no, I mean, you would have to pay a pretty price to get someone of value there. And I don't know any team shopping players of that quality worth the number one overall pick, to be honest. So I like what you tossed out there with the Clint Capella thing. My fear for him is I would not give him a max contract. Like, he's a great role player. He's a great rim runner, but he's also someone who does not deserve a max contract in my mind. Could he get it this year? Probably. I mean, there's a chance. There's a chance, but like, in all honesty, that's not someone I would max out of the contract while I'm looking at my team going, all right, if I'm going to pay for Booker and I want to make a splash in the 2019 free agency class, which is going to be loaded, like, I want to make sure that I have options available to me
forward. Here's what I'm thinking, and I'm keying in on a specific phrase that McDonough said. He said, it's going to be a busy summer for us. What if trading the number one pick isn't the first move they do?
He said busy month.
Well, busy month. What if it's not the first move they do? What if it's not the only move they do? What if I've got two trades in my head that I just kind of figured
out. I do want to throw out, they still have the pick after Lauer
yes,
as well.
Yes, they do. But the first one I'm thinking of is Atlanta sits at three. What if you did, you know what, you could take Luka, and I do agree with Dave, if I'm sitting there with the pick, I would take Luka if I'm the Suns. Or you can sit there and go, hey, what if we try to work a trade with Atlanta, we can get the three, Devin Schroeder, and more picks later on. Dennis Schroeder, sorry about that. get the three, Schroeder, more picks later on to draft more players. The thing is, they only have two players coming off of contracts this year. They got Elfrid Payton, who's still an RFA, and then they got Alex Len. That's their only free agents this year. Or, and this is me being tinfoil hat Ricky, what Dave likes, What if they do other moves to move TJ Warren, move Tyson Chandler, they trade the number one pick for Kawhi Leonard, and then can say, you know what, I know we're not a major market, but we're going all in for a PG-13 LeBron James.
That's so stupid. Not saying your idea is stupid.
I'm just saying tinfoil.
No, I know. I'm not saying your idea is stupid. I'm just saying that would be so stupid of the Phoenix Suns to do. Again, mm-hmm. You're examining all options. But if Ryan McDonough did that, I just gave him credit, I think, about a month ago. If he was to do that, to go so blindly to say, mm-hmm. hey, we're going to go bring in a big star in LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, it would be absolutely blind because Phoenix does not have that ability. Phoenix does not have that ability to bring in a large free agent like that and then be able to say, hey, we're going to go get a Kawhi Leonard and we're going to make things work and turn this franchise around from being the worst franchise this mm-hmm. year to becoming, again, a team that now has NBA championship expectations with a brand new head coach mm-hmm. and a coach that is, again, his first coaching job in the NBA. That sounds a lot like David Blatt to me, where you're going to put this guy into a ton of different, you know, again, this is Igor Koshkovo coming into a new situation of being mm-hmm. an NBA head coach and then being forced with a ton of stars on him and having the expectations of being an NBA champion, where before, when he was just hired, it's a young team. We have a number one overall draft pick. You're screwing over your brand new head coach if you're doing that.
Here's the thing that I look at,
Like, New York sometimes isn't even able to get, like, mm-hmm. meetings with LeBron James for free agency. Why would Phoenix be able to be like, hey, LeBron, come over to Phoenix?
Well, the thing
Charles Barkley trashes us consistently on NBA TV or TNT.
Well, the thing with that is, first, Charles, I think there's a soft spot there, because he secretly loves Phoenix.
Well,
he
loves the fans, yes. But he's been trashing the organization before.
I know,
like the stale popcorn rant, which is fantastic.
But with New York, let's be honest, the management's different. Like, James Dolan is in New York. He's not in Phoenix. Like, Phoenix doesn't have a James Dolan to worry about. The thing with the Suns and the reason why, and I'm not saying LeBron James is going to come there. I think, like, if they're going for veterans and want to go the furthest on that LeBron James kind of rant or route would be getting a Kawhi, getting a PG-13, and then maybe someone else. Like, they're not going to get a LeBron. The thing that I look at, though, is I like what he said about veteran players, because they've gone through the draft so many times. When is it eventually going to turn to where this team hasn't finished, above ninth in the conference since they finished third?
But you do that naturally. You do that through a rebuild. And I'm going to throw this out there. Yes, James Dolan publicly is mm-hmm. a nightmare, but also you look at ESPN's rankings, I think, of 2016 of mm-hmm. every single sports franchise in the United States. 120th out of 122, the Phoenix Suns were ranked. They are not seen as a hotspot destination for free agents. They are not seen as a budding franchise on the outside. You look at all the metrics. Robert Sarver, their owner, is ranked the worst in the NBA. They do not have positive metrics. And the whole reason for that is just because they're not able to put the money in. They're not able to at least put the right resources in. Mm-hmm. Now they're finally doing that. You get a young kid in Ryan McDonough to be your GM. Now you finally get the right coach, what you think, at least, and Igor. Mm-hmm. This is the way you build this up. You have a young superstar in Devin Booker. You have the number one overall pick to pair a guy like Luka or DeAndre Ayton with Devin Booker. This is the right way to rebuild a franchise. Getting rid of all that is not the right way to rebuild a franchise.
I'm not saying they're getting rid of all
blind.
Of it.
Well, that's pretty much the Adam Silver argument. That's the whole thing, is he wants franchises to build through the draft, not tanking, because he'll never say that.
Like the Golden State Warriors.
He wants them to build through the draft. He incentivizes players to stay with their original team mm-hmm. with these supermax contracts that they made up this past year. He wants this to be the new norm in the mm-hmm. NBA, because let's be honest, in free agency, you're right. Phoenix is not a sexy location. It's not somewhere where you're like, yeah, I want to go play in Phoenix, you know, because the culture there, because of the nightlife. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing amazing about Phoenix. No offense, Phoenix people.
I don't think the Phoenix, the city isn't bad.
No,
and also the fans have embraced it. But, like,
it's not LA, is what you're saying.
It's not LA. It's not New York.
But
it's
again,
not
it's
even Chicago. It's not Miami. Like, but I would say
at least
Chicago's number one. No bias.
I would say
you're wrong.
Complete bias. I would say at least, you know, looking at the smaller markets, though. I mean, outside of the LA, New York, all those.
I mean,
I'd say Phoenix is one of the, at least city-wise, at least one of the nicer cities.
It's not a bad city,
there.
But
like, no offense to Memphis, but it's better than Memphis.
Yeah.
No offense to, like, you know, Miami.
GTFO on that one.
I don't know. I'm not a Miami guy, though.
Taxes in Florida, non-existent, so that's, you got true. That going for you. And also, the nightlife is incredible.
According
so.
To Nielsen, and this is TV broadcast, Phoenix is 12th when it comes to markets.
So, I mean, look, it's not the sexy pick. Let's just be honest. So I agree in the fact that this is a team that needs to build through the draft. You need to build through controlled contracts and going on the hopes of if we land, you know, because you got to remember the order. It's draft first. So you can say we're going to make a trade draft night and try to get a Kawhi or something that. And then you have to pray to God that free agency like falls in your favor. Like, look, we just went out and got him. Now you want to come here, play with him, play with Devin Booker.
Well,
like,
and that's why
it's a huge gamble.
Real quick. Also, it's a huge gamble for Kawhi, too, because Kawhi, you're still going to need to re-sign Kawhi. You're still going to need to bring him back. You're going to have to sell on Kawhi. I'm just throwing this out there because this is what Dave said.
I'm going back to my first
trade. I'm saying, though, just with Kawhi, though, you have to not only sell Kawhi, you also have to sell another free agent.
Right.
That's why I think that Kawhi thing, yes, we've talked about Kawhi ad nauseum in trade rumors, but again, this is a guy that wants to be in a big city with stars. Phoenix right now cannot offer that unless they have go out and get a guy like PG-13 and LeBron James. That's just a lot to do and a lot to accomplish. I think we need to throw the Kawhi thing out the window. And again, this is just something he mentioned. Maybe it's just due diligence, but I just I think it'd be the wrong move. But what are you going
to
bring up?
And that's why I go back to my Atlanta Hawks one, because taking what Dennis Schroeder wants, throw it out the window. The Hawks don't care about that. Hawks are going to get whatever's the best for them. And if you're the Hawks, you can sit there. All right, we can swap 1 and 3 and get a choice of do we want to go Ayton? Do we want to go Luka? Like, and if they give up Dennis Schroeder, then obviously I would feel like they would go Luka instead of DeAndre Ayton. But they could go Ayton over Luka even if they get rid of Schroeder. Then if you're the Suns, okay, we get Schroeder. We can throw money at Clint Capella. These are still younger players that we can build our team around and infuse it with some veteran, not leadership, but maybe just some veteran players to help this team boost the timeline a little bit. Because if I was sitting there as a Phoenix fan and I'm sitting 10th overall, 10th, 15, 9th, 10th, 14, 15, 15, it's like, holy crap, 8 years of just shit here.
No, and I agree. It's been a bad situation for Phoenix fans since D'Antoni, since Nash, since Amari left. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I'm just saying, a player like Dennis Schroeder, and let's say that Schroeder right now, he's going to be 25 when the season starts. He's 24 right now, birthday on September 15th. Also, it's Clint Capella's birthday. Happy birthday, Clint Capella, 24 years old.
Big fan of the show.
At least huge fan of the show. But again, you're bringing two young players onto the team. I understand Dennis Schroeder, has been in the league for a while. Clint Capella been in the league for a while. You know, at least you're matching that up with Devin Booker. But you're going to have to, again, maybe possibly max out Clint Capella, at least bid more than Houston can so they can get rid of that tender. So you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to offer a lot of money to Clint Capella, who, again, who's probably going to be making the most money on your team as a five, who, again, has been a nice piece next to Chris Paul, next to James Harden, some of the best passers in the league, and he's still only putting up 13.5 points per game.
And you're watching him grabbing about 10 points during these playoffs.
Exactly. So you're offering a lot of money to a guy that isn't helped by, again, a great playmaker like Chris Paul or James Harden. And Dennis Schroeder, I don't know how well that's going to work against, you know, Devin Booker. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder isn't that great of a playmaker. He's a good playmaker, but he's not a great playmaker. He's not on the levels of a Chris Paul or James Harden. He's like middle of the pack when it comes to point guards in this league to being a facilitator. And maybe even Devin Booker has the ability to surpass Dennis Schroeder. So again, Schroeder, while he's young, I don't really think he fits this team. I think just go and draft young. Take somebody like Luka or DeAndre Ayton, whoever you think is the best fit for your team at that number one overall position, and then go at that 16th pick and fill out the rest of your team at the 4 and 5, maybe a Mitchell Robinson, maybe a Jonte Porter, and just fill this team out with young players. That needs to be the move for Phoenix. There is no other move in my mind. Again, I think McDonough saying this just to be more of a politician, but if he's truly thinking about trading the number one overall pick for a Kawhi Leonard, for a Dennis Schroeder, for hell, a Carmelo Anthony, I don't know, just throwing it out there. I know no one would trade the number one overall pick for that, but just throwing names out there.
Ooh, I got one for
any
you.
Any name out there would be ridiculous. Throw another one.
I say Andre Drummond. Like, I know not straight up, because the Pistons are a team that is tossing stuff around.
But they don't even have their 12th pick. It's
I know.
In LA.
Future picks.
You could get Drummond plus Drummond plus Reggie. You go 1-5 for them. Just straight up.
Oh. Why do you hate Phoenix? Why do you want to give him Reggie Jackson, a guy who can't pass, to this Phoenix Suns team? You're going to limit all ball movement. Igor's offense is about ball movement. Reggie Jackson's putting a nail in the coffin right there with that. No.
I just want to see your reaction to Dustin.
Here's a serious one that I'm thinking. So go back to the Hawks, but take Schroeder out of it. What if it's just a...
1-3 swap?
What? No. Not just 1-3. We're going to get the 3. I want one of your later picks, and I want a pick next year if I'm the Suns. That way, it's like, think about it. Then it's like, you know what? Fuck it. We don't know who we want over Ayton or Doncic. You have that problem. If I want a center, screw it. I'll take Bamba at 3 if I really want to, especially if everything out of the combine and he elevates himself to be the best big in the draft like I think he'll be 5 years down the line. That's a trade they can make, too, taking the veterans out of it. A 3-1 swap with Atlanta, get future picks from the Hawks.
So you're saying build to the draft.
Well, yeah. Well, like, if they're not going to go veteran
That I don't hate. But again,
because they have,
McDonough mentioned about trading for a veteran. So that's where I would take that out. Like,
I'm saying if we're going to go your route and trade for the draft.
I don't hate that pick. Yeah. Again, you're moving down because 2 slots. And we've
getting potential value back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, again, you're getting more players. I mean, maybe you could even pair that late Atlanta pick, your 16th pick, and move back up and get, you know, maybe you get a Colin Sexton at 10, and then you get, you know, a Bamba or a Jaren Jackson
and
at
Atlanta
3.
And Atlanta may want to do that too, because it's like, you know what? Yeah, we'll give away ours, although we probably won't compete because they'll still have Cleveland's. Or you take Cleveland's, banking on LeBron leaving, Cleveland becomes a top 5 pick.
But what I want to throw out there is I like the original trade. Don't keep adding on to it. It's just
no, I'm talking about the 2019 that you would get, the future. Oh, you could either take theirs or Cleveland's that Atlanta will hold next year.
But what I'm just trying to see is why not just take your guy at 1? Mm-hmm. And we saw this last year with Philadelphia and Boston. Danny Ainge had a clear direction. He was going to swindle Philadelphia because they knew they were taking Jason Tatum. There was no way Jason Tatum was going number 1 overall.
Yeah.
So they knew that they were going to be able to get their guy at 3. So maybe they have their guy that they can get at 3. But again, for Phoenix, we talk about the long history where, you know, things have not panned out for them since D'Antoni, since Nash, since Amari left. Why just not get your guy at 1 and risk the possibility? Because, again, you look at Boston. Boston had so much ammo to move to get there to possibly take a risk and get, you know, move down, get an extra draft pick, which now turned into the 10th pick, and Jason Tatum. You know, if they missed out on Tatum, Tatum goes 2 to Boston, then you get Lonzo Ball and possibly you can move him again. Boston had the ammo and the leash to make that move. Because, again, it's not going to look too bad since you have so many options to pick from, where you can also then you get rid of the Brooklyn trade, the Brooklyn pick to get Kyrie Irving. I just don't see why Phoenix would need to do that because you already have the number 1 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Just get your guy.
Yeah,
get your guy. Don't miss out.
Unless they don't believe in either one of these guys.
And that's what I was going to bring in.
That's the only thing I can think of why this would come up because, like you said, the veteran route, we talked through it. There's not a great fit value-wise for them and timeline-wise
for
them.
Unless you're going to trade for Russ, but I don't even want him on my
team. Let's not even go down that dark tunnel. and as far
going right past that rabbit hole.
Yep. And as far as trading back, potentially for additional picks, not the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, like, I don't know that, like, the shotgun approach is really the best way to go about this. I think that, like, they need to land a number 1 guaranteed star, and that you land that at the 1, usually. That's the likely hope. So if you can't figure that point out, like, I'm concerned because you have the guy who coached in the same league as Luka. Mm-hmm. You have the guy...
Well, even coached him in the National.
Yeah, there you go. So you know all the info about him. You're seeing everything about DeAndre Ayton right now. And I'm concerned if both of those guys, if one of those doesn't do it for you, I'm concerned now.
Well, McDonough, he did throw out saying we'll have more information close to the draft after we go through the workout process and interview process and medical physicals. So, I mean, again, he's going to at least, you know, go through this option. Again, this isn't the first year option that they're going to do. And maybe they'll get a clearer vision now. Again, I think one thing that is playing into this, you look at their owner, Sarver, former U of A alum. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know the connection Ayton has to Arizona, playing 2 years of high school there. And then, you know, obviously being an Arizona Wildcat, being a center, has that connection to Phoenix. But how much does that really matter anymore? I mean, this isn't like a regional draft like it used to be back in the 60s. It's something where, again, I think Ayton, you know, fits at least this team at the 5, and he also has that connection to Arizona. And then Luka obviously has the connection to the coach, and he'll fit that three position that they have as well. You know, being able to slide Jackson to the two, have Booker play the one. I mean, they have players that fit, and I feel like they're going to come to a clear consensus on who they like better if they haven't already, in Ayton or Doncic. I mean, McDonough even stated earlier that Ayton was their guy at one if they were going to pick him. I think that was a couple months ago. So, I mean, I think they'll form a clear consensus, and I think that consensus should just be hold on to the pick, draft the number one player, because you just need to hit finally.
Yes.
The one I want to throw out there, because we're closing in on time, we're talking about it a little bit later, so, but I do want to throw him out there. You know, Dave, I mentioned this before. Number one overall pick for Karl Anthony Towns. Would you do it?
Yeah, that is in a bind. I feel like...
Because you're going to have to offer him a contract.
You're talking straight up.
Yeah. Straight up.
No.
I don't think I'd do it. I think the contract control... I've been talked into, let's play the process out. I hate using that word for other teams, but play it out and go with contract control. That's king here. You get, you know, four guaranteed years plus RFA years. You take that chunk of control over a player's, basically into their prime.
Mm-hmm.
I would take that. And you hope that you develop DeAndre Ayton into something that's equal value to Cat, you know?
I'll throw this out there then. Let's do Cat and the 20th pick for the number one overall pick. Because Minnesota does have Oklahoma.
The 20 pick. Doesn't do it. I mean, if they toss a future one, maybe, but like...
Isn't that crazy to say a former... Like, isn't just weird to think? 2015, Cat was number one pick overall. We're saying DeAndre Ayton can turn into Cat, yet we're not sure if we do it just because of the contract. It's just crazy to think.
Well, and the two things, the one trade I'm just going to say, that's my prediction is what I'll say is, but the thing I was going to say is, isn't it funny? It's like, I know I have my questions about Luka, and some people do just because he's coming from overseas. You in our bust video, Sean, on the Primetime Podcast, said that you think DeAndre Ayton will be bustable in this NBA draft. Well, not for sure going to be a bust, but he has potential. Like, the bust potential.
Every player does.
That, to me, is why if I am the Phoenix Suns, you know what? I'm not taking either of these chances at number one. When I can, the trade I'm working for, and this is my prediction, they will make a trade with the Hawks. They will get the three. They will get a future pick later in the draft, and they will get Cleveland's 2019 pick. Because, yes, it's top 10 protected next year, but with my thinking that LeBron will leave, Cleveland ain't going to be doing any better. So I'll get that pick in 2020, and I'll just stash that one, kind of like Danny Ainge did. Then at three, I can then have the debate, do I go a Jaren Jackson, Bagley, Bamba, or a Trae Young?
Mm-hmm.
That is a more safer discussion for me than a Ayton Doncic, who we don't really know exactly if they're going to be for sure locks at number one. They can, but they can't.
One thing I do want to throw out there, too, with that Cat trade is him and Booker best friends. So so you also do have the connection of Kentucky, former Kentucky players used to play on that, that old team.
Do they play
well.
Fortnite together?
2014. They play Fortnite together. So I just want to throw that out there, that Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker. Make Devin Booker happy. Make Karl Anthony Towns happy because he's playing with his buddy.
I'm surprised we didn't get a single Kemba Walker toss in this episode.
No. Dave, do you think the Phoenix Suns will trade the number one?
I pray they don't. I pray they don't do it. It's not, no.
I will say this. If the Phoenix Suns trade the number one overall pick and do not get a Karl Anthony Towns player, or do not, if they do your trade where they're trading back to three, if they're going out and getting Kawhi Leonard, or if they're going out and making a mistake getting a veteran player, they will become enemy number one on the podcast, overseeding the Orlando Magic.
Wow.
Really?
Somehow.
Huh.
Yeah. It'd be so stupid. It'd be so
then you'll
blindsided
never
want to
say their coach's
dumb.
Name right again. You won't care.
It'd be so dumb. And I had high praise for Ryan McDonough. If he does this, I think it'd be a stupid and catastrophic mistake. Okay. I hope Phoenix does not do that, because Phoenix Suns fans have been so nice to us. And also, I mean, this is a team where I look at the potential. You know, I love Devin Booker. You know, I love T.J. Warren. I love T.J. Warren. Josh Jackson was a guy I was really high on coming out of this draft. I think this team has potential. Take the number one overall pick.
Build right.
And I think Igor was the right hire as well. I think there's so many positives already on this Phoenix team. You'd be getting rid of all the progress by just, trading the number one overall pick for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, a guy that's not for sure going to be staying on your team. But let us know what you think about the Phoenix Suns possibly trading the number one overall pick. Do you think it's just McDonough playing politician? Let us know in the comments down below. But let's move into the next topic. We're talking about Grizzlies draft here, and there's a report coming out that they're open to trading the fourth overall pick. We just talked about the Suns being open to trading the first overall pick. Ricky, you mentioned the Kings on Tuesday. We haven't heard anything from the Vlade Divac camp, but read us what you're hearing, at least what we've heard from Bleacher Report, what we're hearing out of the Memphis Grizzlies camp.
And they're quoting Sporting News, and they said, if you have someone you like in the first few picks, they're the first call you'd make. That'd be the Grizzlies. They obviously have the most, or they were the most disappointed in the way that the lottery went, and the options that they have now aren't the best. It seems like they want to try to turn that pick into something else. Everyone's going to talk before the draft, of course, but Memphis, I think they're the ones who are going to be more ready to do something than others.
And that's one NBA general manager saying that. So nothing really...
It's not inside of Memphis.
Yes, but not inside of Memphis. But again, Memphis was projected to be, at least lottery odds-wise, they were projected to be in the top three, obviously falling out to now the fourth pick. We look at the options they have. We think DeAndre Ayton's going to be off the board. We think Luka Doncic is going to be off the board. Then it's really, who does Atlanta want to take at three? Are they going to go with Bagley? Are they going to go with Bamba? Are they going to go with Jaren Jackson Jr.? And then at the Grizzlies, will they be the first to take a risk and take Michael Porter Jr. with his back injury? Would they, you know, possibly go out and get one of the guys that fell, either Bamba, Bagley, or Jaren Jackson? What do you guys think about the Grizzlies being open to trading their pick? Because, Dave, you mentioned, this team does have at least the, kind of happenings of a playoff team when healthy.
They have, I mean, between Conley, Gasol, and a re-signed Tyreke Evans, like, there's no reason they shouldn't compete for a playoff spot. I know it's a tough conference out west, but still, those three players, Tyreke played insane this year. I would love to see him with a true point guard out there next to him. I don't think it would diminish his role. So if you trade that pick for an established talent, I think that would really set them up for something. Yes, you're the shift of the focus of a team that low in the lottery is usually not playoff team this year and going forward, but it was just one of those years where all the cards landed wrong. And don't take this too literally, but it reminds me of the Spurs when they had the Admiral go down and they lucked their way into Tim Duncan. And it's like right back in it the next year. Guess what? Now we're, rolling forward. I don't know that they would, hope on that same behalf that they get a pick at four who turns into that level of like, we can now continue our team moving forward. I think that they're a team who would gamble on getting an established player and try to, make sure that Marc Gasol's next 3 years are all going in the playoffs.
Here's what I'm thinking. I've got two players. First off, this means whoever wants Bamba or Porter, we're open for business. Like, that's what I'm thinking here. If any team wants to trade up for Mo Bamba or wants to trade up for Michael Porter, because coming out of the combine, they're going to be the stocks that rise the most. Unless, like, a Porter, he goes, like, top three. And the trade I'm thinking about, and this might be a little crazy, but I don't think it's too much. What if the Bulls say, we really want Michael Porter. Someone's going to take him before us. They ship eight. This isn't the whole deal, but this is the main two pieces. We'll give you Bobby Portis and the seventh for the fourth.
Portis, 7 and 22.
Well, I'm saying, that's not everything, but the main part is Bobby Portis in the seventh to get a Michael Porter at the fourth.
I think they need to, at least at the Grizzlies, if they're going to be trading this pick, they need to leverage themselves to make sure they are in the playoffs. Bobby Portis does not make sure they are in the playoffs.
He can be a bench piece to help them.
But they don't need a bench piece. They need someone that's going to be healthy, and they need someone that's going to be a starter.
But Bobby Portis is not that guy.
He's a legit four in the NBA.
Yeah, and then you could take him.
But is Bobby Portis going to make you a playoff team, Dave?
Yes.
Bobby Portis plus those three healthy players I was just talking about puts you right in the running.
And if you want to add another one, you can end a Wendell Carter Jr. at seven. Then, boom, you get two power forwards that can help you.
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a Memphis Grizzlies. We're talking about Mike Conley, who just played 12 games last season. And again, Mike Conley, when healthy, is near top 10. Yeah, near all-star, near top 10 player. Point guard in the league. But again, this team isn't quick. This team isn't to modern-day NBA standards. I mean, again, they have Marc Gasol, who's 33, 32 years old, and isn't the same Marc Gasol. He's good, but he isn't the same Marc Gasol that he used to be. He's also, again, throwing hissy fits against David Fizdale, getting him fired. Also, wasn't playing near the end of the season last year as well. Was a very limited Marc Gasol in the past year. Mike Conley isn't healthy. Chandler Parsons isn't healthy.
I didn't even want to say his name out loud.
Rick Evans, Tyreke is not going to, possibly not going to be around this
it's
year.
It's no guarantee. Yeah,
because his contract's up. Adding Bobby Portis does nothing for me. even if all these guys are healthy, that does not make Memphis a playoff team. I like Denver way more. Mm-hmm. Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, way better than the core of Memphis. You had Bobby Portis. That doesn't tip the scales for me.
That's it's not just
and
Bobby
Denver
Portis.
And Denver didn't even make the playoffs there. Well, okay, but a guy like Wendell Carter, mm-hmm. yes, he's good, but can he be a guy that's, again, good enough to take you to the playoffs? I mean, this is the question.
But
you have to get to the playoffs if you're trading the fourth pick.
You can then match Bobby Portis and Wendell Carter together. Or if you go with the Mikal Bridges route that's there, you go with one of the threes that are there. Like, that's the thing. I think that the Grizzlies aren't going to really care. Well, they're not going to care as much about who they're getting with that top pick because they're going to find someone that they like. I think this is a prime spot for basically, like I said, if you want Bamba, if you want Porter, we're open for business, baby. Let's make a deal.
I get
That's
that.
What
I
this
get
is.
That.
So the question
that,
is, why wouldn't they just pull the trigger on Porter in that case? That's my question.
Michael Porter.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe they don't like him. Maybe they don't think it. What if they're like, we have enough injury-prone players, why add another one?
Well, I think it's also something.
That's fair.
I think it's something where you need the veteran. You need a if you're Memphis.
Yeah.
What your idea is getting back to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's the idea for Memphis. So it's not about Michael Porter Jr. It's not about the future. It's not about Wendell Carter Jr. or Mo Bamba or Jaren Jackson Jr. It's about getting a veteran that's going to secure. Would the fourth be enough for a guy like Kawhi Leonard? Would the fourth be enough to get a player that's going to change your franchise? Because, again, you need a starter that's going to be not only on the court, but also is going to be that third piece, a part of that big three, if you want to call it, of Conley, Gasol, and X player.
Right.
And a guy like Kawhi Leonard would be that player. But is Kawhi, and for the fourth, enough? Like, you need somebody that's going to make a splash.
Yeah.
And Bobby Portis and the seventh pick is not enough to make you a playoff team.
No. Mm-hmm.
That's the idea for Memphis. It's not about young players. It's not about moving down in the draft. It's about getting a guy that's going to make them a playoff team. And right now, I don't see a trade that's going to work out for Memphis. And I don't think that Memphis adding a guy like Bobby Portis and trading down and getting a Wendell Carter Jr. or something like that is going to make them a playoff team. Memphis is going to need to either get really desperate to make a deal, or they're going to have to face the fact that they need to rebuild. And I get it. Marc Gasol is a fan favorite. Marc Gasol helped bring this team to the playoffs consistently when that team was healthy with Zebo and grit and grind play. I get it. It's going to be sad to see him leave at some point. But again, you need to get out of the Marc Gasol era. You need to get to the future. Trading the fourth pick, I think, would be super short-sighted for the Memphis Grizzlies.
But they've already made their decision to go with Gasol or Fizdale.
The
so
terrible
it's true.
Decision.
Now you
made your bet. You got to lay on it.
Exactly.
I've bashed that before. I've said on this podcast, like I've said plenty of times before about other different people, that Chris Ballard, the GM of Memphis, should be fired for not moving Marc Gasol and not moving Tyreke Evans.
Well, and that's why it's exactly what Dave said. Why when you chose Gasol or Fizdale, you completely took the word rebuild and kicked it out of the building. Kicked it a million miles away because we're not even thinking about that. Mm-hmm. So to me, the thing that I find a little funny with this is when he uses the phrase that they obviously were the most disappointed with how the lottery went down. It's like, really? Are you going to be a five-year-old kid? I'm upset I didn't get a top three pick. I'm going to trade it. Like, come on.
Wow. We need to clip that.
Like, really, like, that is what I think of here a little bit, reading that. Like, you're going to be that upset that's like, screw it. I don't want to make this pick.
Well, they didn't say that.
And the whole thing is, this is not Memphis saying it.
Well, it says they're obviously most disappointed. Like,
that's an outside source.
No, I know that. But if that's how they feel, why would you do that?
If the Bulls had the number one chance to get the number one pick and they fell to four, you would be so pissed off. You'd be so disappointed.
But I don't think...
That's just how people work.
This is putting me in a GM position. If I was a top three pick and I fell to four...
They're not throwing a hissy fit. They're disappointed in what happened because they thought they can get a game-changing franchise player in DeAndre.
But what I'm saying is, me as a GM, I would be upset that, I fell out, but I wouldn't necessarily be like, well, we got to trade the pick. We got to trade it. But it's tradable now. Like, we got to trade it.
Well,
I would look at it and go, hey, what could a Mo Bamba, what could a Michael Porter, what could somebody add to this team? Kind of like what you were saying with the whole building through the draft and just rebuilding.
Again, I think the Grizzlies' mindset has always been that they're going to be a team that competes next year. whether they were getting the fourth pick or whether they were getting the 20th pick this year, they thought their season was ruined because of injuries. Mm-hmm. So this mindset hasn't changed from them getting the first pick to the one pick. It just changed that, hey, maybe now we'll actually trade it, because they thought maybe Luka Doncic would just fit right in. Because, again, a pro mentality, a guy that's been playing overseas for the past 3 years in pro basketball would be able to step in and be a piece that at least contributes. Now they're thinking, hey, Mo Bamba's going to be time, and he's not going to be able to contribute to this team. Jaren Jackson, we don't really know if he's going to be a guy that at least is going to be able to start for us. Marvin Bagley might not be a guy that's going to start for us. They might still value Deontay Davis high, a guy that drafted out of Michigan State, to be a power forward. Maybe they don't need to fill that power forward spot. They don't need to fill that center spot because Marc Gasol's there. And then they don't need a point guard in Trae Young. So maybe they're moving, at least deciding to move back to get a guy that's going to help their team either at the two or the three with that veteran status. I think that's the idea. They're not throwing a hissy fit. They're just realizing that they're not going to get a player that's going to help their playoff chances at the fourth position.
That's why I look at three teams. If they want to add a veteran, there are three teams to me that I feel like could move up. Two are more likely. One's kind of an outsider. First one, I mentioned them already, the Bulls. Bobby Portis has been in trade talks. They have the seventh pick. They also have the 22 pick if they want to use that for ammo as well. The second one, the Orlando Magic. What if they want to move up for a Michael Porter Jr., a Mo Bamba type of pick? And the last one, and this one might be the shocking one, what about the 76ers if they move a Dario Saric kind of player and say, we'll give you Dario, we'll give you the 10th. We want to move up for one of those players at number four.
Now, we're going to talk about two of those ones because I think two are very interesting. The Magic and the Sixers. Just, Dave, I'm going to go to you first.
Yeah.
The Magic one I think that at least could be feasible is Magic probably, highly value at least a guy like, maybe Mo Bamba, maybe Michael Porter Jr. They really want to get
Mo
him
Bamba
move up.
Screams Magic.
They really want to get him and they move up.
They got Bismack.
What if they add Evan Fournier to that trade? Fournier, the 6th for the 4th. Would you do that if you're the Orlando Magic or the Memphis Grizzlies? Does Evan Fournier make the
His contract
Grizzlies
is what, like?
17 mil.
Ooh, for how many years? Three? I want to say it's 3 years at 17.
I think so, too.
That's rough.
I think you're right about that.
No, I'm terrified of, and I know the injury's
he's
not
got,
there.
He's got 2 years fully at 17 mil, and he's got a player in 2021 for 17 mil.
Yeah, yikes. No, I don't do that. Because I don't know, like, if they do that without giving up contracts back, there's no way they could offer Tyreke Evans what he'd want. So I would not do that trade unless they're eating back money. But the Sixers one, I'm interested in.
Well, I mean, for the Magic, what if it's an Aaron Gordon type deal? I know he's an RFA. What if you get a deal done?
For the Sixers?
No, I'm saying for the Magic.
He's
like
the
you
Magic,
had mentioned
sorry.
Before that, like, Aaron Gordon could be. What if they get a deal done early enough with Aaron Gordon to where they can include him in a trade and have it Aaron Gordon and the 6-ish for the number 4?
I mean, I don't know about it. Because, again,
that seems like a great value.
It seems like a great value, but I'm not
for the freaking Magic. They're getting ripped.
If you want to move up for a guy like Michael Porter Jr. that you think, if you think he can be the best player in the draft, he obviously thinks when
healthy,
you
pull the trigger, yeah.
Could be, like, that's the thing. Do you love a guy that much? Would they be able to love a guy that much to make a deal like that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gordon's probably more likely than Fournier just because, Gordon, again, outside of the contract issues, younger player, more potential. But how does Gordon, you think, fit into that Grizzlies lineup? I mean, Conley, we'll say maybe, let's take Reek out of the,
You really don't think he's coming back, do you?
Just right now, because he's not a for sure certain thing.
Yeah, the Knicks can offer him a max.
Let's say Conley's there. Let's say, Gasol's there. Jermichael Green wouldn't be there because Aaron Gordon. So Parsons, Conley, Gordon, and Gasol. How does that team do in the Western Conference? At least that's starting four.
They probably win 40 games.
You think so?
I think they
could. If they're all healthy?
Yeah. Conley and Gasol on their own are a fantastic duo. You've got veterans on that team, and veterans can close games. Like, I would not be worried about that team. I don't know if 40 gets you in the playoffs, though.
Well, yeah, because that'd be
200. Well, I'm 40, 42. Yeah. Like, they would be right at that. They'd be right at that mark. I don't know if I'll say they go 500 with that. Like, yes, they could trash on some teams because matchups would be fun because Aaron Gordon, who can switch on people, Aaron Gordon can take it. He can now stretch it out a little bit. Marc Gasol now doing that as well. Like, you have a good front court. And Mike Conley, no slouch. The problem is, like, do you trust Chandler Parsons as, you know, healthy? I mean, he shooting wise, he fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But it just depends on, like, how much faith you have really there. I don't have any, so I think that them as a 500 team is about as best as I would give them.
47 was the line in the West this year. Like, 47 was the 8 seed.
And the Nuggets barely made it in. The Clippers barely made it in. The Clippers had more health problems, too, mm-hmm. and they still had a better record. It barely made it out,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so that's my thing. I don't know if that would – Aaron Gordon would necessarily make them a mm-hmm. playoff team.
And there's some deals that are thrown out there. Four for the 6th, 35th, and 41. This year for the OK Futures first for that Orlando deal. I've been looking up a couple of trades. So they'd be trading 6 2-seconds and then OKC's future. I think mm-hmm. that was in the Oladipo trade to Orlando and OKC for the 4th. I mean, again, you're just moving back, but I don't see what the positive there for the Grizzlies. Yes, you're getting younger players. You're getting 4, but just get the guy that you would mm-hmm. you think best fits your team. I don't understand this in the NBA draft.
If they think they're not... That's like hedging your bet, basically. You're saying, I don't know that we can mm-hmm. hit this, but worst case scenario, we've got a head start on the rebuild.
The only thing that I see positive when you take on this many picks is if you're going to move it for assets that are going to help you in. So like 2 seconds for a veteran, like for a Bobby Portis or whatever, taking that OKC pick and then trading that for a veteran. Like that's the only thing. This isn't like the NFL where you're going to be able to fill out 52 positions mm-hmm. Through the draft. You're not going to be able to get guys that, again, in the second round are still going to be first round talents.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the late first round talent, like first round players in the NBA draft aren't even first round talents.
There's a huge miss percentage there.
So, I mean, that's the thing is I don't see the point of moving back. If you have the ability to take your guy at 4, take your guy. And the only way I see Memphis moving this pick is if they're getting a veteran to help their playoff chances. Right. And I don't even think they should be doing that. So it's so misconstrued for the Grizzlies to think that I think that they're going to be able to make the playoffs consecutively for the next 5 years or whatever.
3 years is realistic.
Yeah,
with Gasol.
3 years, because then you're even you're going to get rid of Gasol and Conley once those contracts are done, and then you're left with nothing. I mean, mm-hmm. you're left with nothing. You're not going to be able to take that and make that into a
you can't transition
fruitful future.
One generation to the next. And I think that's one of the things that, like, a lot of playoff teams hold on to their teams for too long, mm-hmm. and you end up in those situations. Like, the Miami Heat is a team that went from LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh to Goran Dragic, Justice Winslow, Hassan Whiteside, and guess what? Still in the playoffs. Like, they mm-hmm. did not dip off the face of the earth.
Well, they also have a pretty good, like,
no,
top
my,
10
my
head
point
coach,
being,
too.
And they have a top 10 GM.
Exactly.
Like, teams who know when to let
coach
go.
Himself.
He told Dwayne Wade, he's like, I'm not going to give you more money.
Mm-hmm.
He's not giving you a Kobe contract.
And,
that's
came,
the thing.
And who
you
came
see
back?
The Lakers and a team who held on too long to mm-hmm. their star and who tried to build around an aging star who was injured. Like, I'm just saying there's ways to set your franchise up for success mm-hmm. and holding on to aging veterans and hoping that you can get one last run in. Like, I get it. It worked for Dirk.
Yeah.
Dirk's special. I don't think Marc Gasol has what Dirk has as far as being able to lead a team to a championship ring late in his career.
And I know he's not as old, but Boston kind of did the same thing with Isaiah Thomas. Like, you're coming off that injury. No, we're not giving you the money. We're going to trade you for Kyrie. Like,
yeah.
they kind of mm-hmm. did the same thing there. Is we're not giving you a contract.
I mean, shit, that's a team that flipped over their talent. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you take our old veteran players who won us rings.
Jay Crowder
and
Bradley.
No, I was saying
Garnett Pierce.
The Garnett Pierce,
yeah.
Ray Allen thing.
To Brooklyn.
Gave it away, and guess what? Everyone's like, oh, this is a terrible trade. I'll never forget the mm-hmm. the faces and the noises that came out of
Boston
Bill
fans.
Simmons.
Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons' reaction to that trade was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We're all looking back at that laughing. Mm-hmm. You have to know when to let go. If they can, and this is me, not Memphis. If I was for some awful reason the GM of Memphis, I would be looking at moving guys like Marc Gasol, mm-hmm. guys like Mike Conley, guys who have value on that team.
You should know
to
that
set
better than
up.
Anyone being a Patriot fan.
You take
that's
the
Bill
highest
Belichick.
Value.
Bill Belichick is like that.
That's just smart.
I'll just let you go before
it's not,
you. Yeah.
I mean, the reason why Bill Belichick is seen as, you know, at least, you know, a great GM, a great football mind, at least a great, you know, mm-hmm. at least a talent cultivator is because mm-hmm. he's able to move
yeah.
away from talent.
But like,
soon
that's
enough.
What it
that's
makes
freaking
me think
heartless.
Of.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
you
smart
have to.
Business.
And that's the
I mean,
point.
Again, this is the NBA. This is smart business. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the whole reason with IT. I think you mentioned mm-hmm. that as well.
Yeah,
you know, IT. We're not,
yep.
Yeah, we're not going to give you the contract mm-hmm. because you're old and you're broken down and you're not going to be in our plans when you're 33 years old.
Yeah.
We need to move on from you. Like, it sucks to see. But again, Marc Gasol, even though he's been there for X amount of years and he's been taking Memphis to the playoffs, it's time to move on from Marc Gasol. It's time to move on from Mike Conley, even though you're not going to be able to do that because you offered him a max 5 years and made him the highest paid player at the time of that contract in the NBA. I
mean, you're going to ride out with Conley for probably two more years and then you can see what you can get. I mean, to
maybe
move him.
Because if he's still injured, you're still going to have him under contract.
I'm not saying he's a super injury prone guy.
No, but again, he's also,
he was Mr. Consistent.
He's also older though. So again, it's tougher to come back and bounce back from injuries at this age. Right. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But I'm just saying it's tough for him, at least at that age, to bounce back like he would have at 24.
Yeah.
So it's something where it's time to move on from these players. It's time to take that fourth overall pick and draft the next great player and draft the future of the Memphis Grizzlies.
I completely
This is
agree.
A team that, again, Rob Pera, the majority owner, just re-upped his ownership through a buy-sell agreement for, I think, $1.3, $1.4 billion. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is still a Memphis Grizzlies franchise that is still valuable, that is still worth money. You need to keep that value going. And while it might be difficult to, you know, possibly pass up on future playoff tickets for one round if you get your butt whooped against the Warriors next year if you're the eighth seed, like, it's going to be tough to pass on those that money, but also you're going to be, you know, at least cultivating the ability to possibly make the playoffs for 10 straight years if you go with a guy like, you know, Mo Bamba, if you go get a guy like Marvin Bagley. It's smart business to just go out and build for the future and not stay in these old rundown, at least, you know, rundown ideas of what your franchise could be. It's time to move on for Memphis. It's time to just draft the future because this sign of this year, what you're without Marc Gasol, without Mike Conley, is a bad sign to be in. It's a desolate future to be in. And this is what you're going to be in if you keep relying on guys who are 33, 31 years old to be the face of your franchise. And unless your guys like LeBron James, who's never been hurt in his career, at least seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible.
It's a horrible investment. And also, LeBron James is going to be making you $1 billion alone because he's LeBron freaking James. Yep. No offense to Marc Gasol, no offense to Mike Conley, them
not
combined is not going to be making you the same amount of money LeBron James brings
in. You guys
in.
Barely play the same sport. the other thing I want to bring up about that is about the turnaround is you also, if you know, are a bad team again next year, you keep your pick. Remember, that pick is going to Boston at some point. Mm-hmm. 2019 is top 8 protected. 2020 is top 6 protected. So you have to make sure that you get value out of that. If you're going to suck, don't suck in the middle. Just go all into the suck.
Well, yeah. Here's one thing I'm going to compare it to for Grizzly fans and for the Grizzlies in general is if they make this trade for a veteran to try to get in the playoffs, they will be like the 2009-2010 Chicago Bulls. Had enough to get 500. We're going to make the eighth seed. We got knocked out by LeBron in five games. Same thing will happen to you with a different team. You'll get the eighth seed. You get knocked out by the Rockets, who could have LeBron James, or the Golden State Warriors. Good luck with that.
Final thoughts here on the Memphis Grizzlies. What players should they be looking at, and should they be thinking about drafting? Should they be thinking about trading?
I would just make the pick. I would not trade it. But if they do trade it, I'm going to say it's to a team like Chicago or Orlando that wants to jump teams because they're afraid of them going with either a Mo Bamba or a Michael Porter Jr.
Who do they take if they keep it?
If they keep it, either Bagley or Jackson, I would go with the Bagman.
I agree. Take the pick. Go highest upside available. I mean, this is the time to rebuild. And I know you screw up with your coach, but you got to realize now that you go for the highest asset this year, you go for the highest asset next year, and then you probably won't have your pick the following, hopefully, if everything goes well. Bagley probably is the guy who's going to be available. I think Porter Jr. still stands an outside chance of going three.
I think it does too.
I didn't see anything to seriously question his health right now. I know there are going to be a lot more workouts, individual workouts, team doctors looking at him. So I hope we get some more clarity there. But I could see him easily going here because just we talked about the upside of him possibly having as a 6'11 smooth shooter. I mean, you can't pass that up, I think.
Yeah, I think it would be stupid to trade the pick. And I think most teams in the top five would be stupid to trade their picks unless they're getting more assets in the future, like first-round picks from teams that are already picking in the top five.
Do you
like,
think if this you're was getting a smokescreen from somebody who wants the Memphis Grizzlies pick? Because it was from another GM source in the league.
Why did you bring that up in the pod. That would have been great to mm-hmm. You should have brought that up earlier in the topic, buddy. That would have been better at me yelling at Memphis Grizzly fans.
I sort of enjoy you yelling at Memphis Grizzlies fans.
Is it a smoke screen? Now, who do you think would gain the most from a smoke screen?
Well, that's the question. Is who wants to move up? Who wants to influence the Grizzlies to trade back in this? And who are they trying to get up for? Could it be the Bamba thing that Ricky's mm-hmm. talking about with him having impressive workouts and in a mm-hmm. improved shot from the outside? Could it be Michael Porter Jr.? Could it be... I think it's one of those two guys who is kind of wowing people after the early combine show. And I'm looking at, you know, honestly, like I hate being a homer with Ricky, but like I could see Bulls, Cavs, anyone in that mm-hmm. like 7 through like 10 range offering that up. Not the 76ers.
What do the Cavs have ammo wise to get up though? Like I don't think they have enough ammo to get up.
They have the 8th overall pick.
They have the 8th and Kevin Love.
Next year they could they could do though is they could give up pick-wise this year's pick and next year's. The reason being
they're
is
not theirs.
It well instead if it's top 10 protected, mm-hmm. it would just go to Memphis then instead of the Cavaliers because it is top 10 protected. The one that's with Atlanta right now for 2019.
Wait, what are you saying?
The Cavs have the 2019
pick. It's top 10 protected.
The Cavs,
yeah, okay. Like the Hawks have it, but Cleveland will have
but
it.
But if
it's
the
top 10.
The Cavs cannot trade their first round pick back to back years. So
I don't know when it was traded.
So no, but I'm saying if they trade mm-hmm. they traded this year's
yeah.
pick, they don't have it. They can't trade next year's okay. pick no matter what.
Well, and to me, I look at Dan Gilbert, and he's a guy that I could believe putting out something like this because he wants to move up because he's afraid LeBron left. And it goes off of what I know Stu Gatz said today on Golic and Wingo, where he's like, LeBron's made up his mind. He's like, I think he's leaving. LeBron's made up his mind, though, what he's going to do. And if Dan Gilbert believes that and thinks it's leaving, why wouldn't he throw out a smokescreen to try to get Memphis thinking about it so that he can influence them to move up?
I mean, what about a far-out team like the Bucks or something like that?
The one team I was going to throw out, though, was the Clippers. Just
Clippers
because,
have assets.
Just because they have those two picks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe that would be enough for the Grizzlies where, hey, maybe they even throw on a player that would help their run. Mm-hmm. Maybe they look for a backup point guard. Maybe throw on Pat Bev. Mm-hmm. And then you throw on those two picks and you get that 4th overall pick. Memphis is at least able to gain some capital in the 12th and 13th. Clippers get the 4th overall pick. They're able to get a guy in Michael Porter Jr. that they possibly think is a game changer, or maybe a Mo Bamba they think is a game changer. I think I think the team that would do it is going to do it for Michael Porter Jr. They don't want to miss out on it. They want to be the first to just jump on it and take him because, again, no offense to Mo Bamba, no offense to Marvin Bagley, no offense to Jaren Jackson. They don't have the ability to dominate a game like Michael Porter Jr. can be mm-hmm. if he's healthy and is all he's hyped up to be.
Yeah.
If he's a 6'11" freak that can shoot the ball from the outside and he's healthy, he can be the best player in this draft. There's no doubt about it. So I think the team that is at least throwing that out there, if it is a smokescreen, would be the team that most wants Michael Porter Jr., the Bulls. So I think the Bulls are probably the team that's probably the
722 one throw out there. And Bobby Portis.
That's not enough for me, though.
You're going back three spots, and you're getting 22 and a...
We talked about the Magic, and it's two spots, and they're giving up Aaron Gordon.
Yikes.
How does Aaron Gordon not equal Bobby Portis in the 22nd?
No, that's fair.
I mean,
contract. That's the only difference. With Aaron Gordon, you would have to lock him.
But the talent level is miles apart.
But I'm saying, the contract is Aaron Gordon's an RFA.
Don't disrespect the 1-2 punch.
He's an RFA this offseason.
Yes.
So, I mean... you would have to lock down that contract in order to make that deal where Bobby Portis is
2 years
he's locked
down.
I think it would have to be something where you trade it well after the draft. Mm-hmm. You'd have to agree to that at the point and then have to get Aaron Gordon to sign.
That's why with Bobby Portis is probably more realistic.
But then again, Bobby Portis isn't near the talent level. Anyways, let us know what you think the Grizzlies should do down in the comments below. It's an interesting situation, whether they're going to trade the pick, whether they're not going to trade the pick. Do you think the Grizzlies can make the playoffs as this team stands? Do you think if they're going to go out and get a veteran like Kawhi Leonard or Bobby Portis or Aaron Gordon, let us know in the comments down below. Let's move into the final topic, though, and we're talking about the souring relationship between Karl-Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Appearing on Friday's episode of The Low Post, ESPN.com's Zach Lowe said Towns and the Timberwolves are not in a good place internally. ESPN.com's Brian Windhorst, who joined Lowe for a lengthy conversation, later posted, "It would not be unheard of if Towns' name eventually surfaced in trade discussions. I don't think Anthony Davis is going anywhere anytime soon," Windhorst said, "but Karl-Anthony Towns, now that might be a different story. So Cat in trade rumors, possibly. Let's first talk about the relationship. Let's talk about why Cat might be at least upset, and if this is, you know, possibly fixable. Because again, we're not going to. This isn't something that's happening right now. We're not reporting that Cat is in trade rumors, but it's possible that at least the relationship has been souring. So this is a team, Minnesota, that from Cat's time, they have gone from having the worst pick, Karl Anthony Towns, number one overall, to now being in the playoffs this year. What do you think has at least turned the tide for Karl Anthony Towns? Do you think this is just over the course of 3 years, he doesn't like the change of from Flip Saunders, unfortunately passing, to Tom Thibodeau? Do you think it's something with Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler? What do you think is the key, at least driving force, between the wedge of Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I think it's Tom Thibodeau. And
I think
reason,
he likes his knees.
Like, and the reason why, and the reason why I say that is, first off, we saw this during the Rockets series, where obviously it was like, something's not right. Maybe he's not being used enough, yada, yada, yada. But what I go back to is, it just makes me think of when I read Coach Cal's book. And early on, he talked about Karl Anthony Towns. He even mentioned the whole, like, Carlito thing, the little, like, cat that's on his shoulder that he talks to.
Totally normal.
And the thing is, I feel like, for me, and I don't know Karl Anthony Towns, I don't know the situation, but I feel like Karl Anthony Towns, through Cal talking about it, he might be a unique guy to deal with, where it's like, you know what, you got to know how to deal with Cat. And I don't think Thibodeau is a player to, oh, come here, let me, what's going on? Thibodeau's a guy, do it my way, this way,
Thibodeau is a loving father, mentor?
No, exactly. I don't. And I feel like that's the main rift, that maybe Karl Anthony Towns isn't gelling with Tibbs as the head coach.
Well, we did see Cat's usage go down from at least the 2016-2017 season to the 2017-2018 season, when they did bring in Jimmy Butler. And Ricky did mention the playoff performance of Cat in the 2017-2018 playoffs. Of course, the minutes were a little bit shaky for Cat. In the second game, he only played 23 minutes. Then in game four, he only played 31 minutes. He did have games of 40 minutes played, 38 minutes played, 35 minutes played. But overall, in the playoffs, scored 15.2 points per game, 13.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists, shot 46% from the field and 27.3% from three. But he had a rough first two games, scoring 8 and 5 points. Dave, this is something that we mentioned, that Karl Anthony Towns looked like trash in those first two games. Do you think this is just a young player not knowing how the NBA works, or do you think it is something like we mentioned, where, again, maybe Tom Thibodeau doesn't know how to work with Karl Anthony Towns?
I'm honestly leaning more towards the second one. I think that Cat has a ton of potential and is an offensive stud. I think the fact that their game plan is no longer built around Cat being their one and their go-to guy is kind of what's hurting him the most, because he had, you know, the keys to the ride. It was him and Wiggins. They're 1-2. They're going to roll with it. And then all of a sudden, and even LaVine was 3. And like that, those three guys worked out. You saw where that could go. And then they pull out the rug and like, Jimmy Butler's the dude here. He's better than you. And we're going to run with him. And if you get your points in, that's cool. But just don't expect, you know, our offense to run through you. So, you know, taking a smaller role in your offense is one thing. But when all you bring to a team is offense, that's a majority of his game now, that you're just chipping away from him. And you're telling him, you're not as valuable to us right now. What you provide for us is...
And kind of to play off of that, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, you did.
Well, I mean... What I just jumped was what you were saying, and it's like Thibodeau, we know from him being with the Bulls, doesn't necessarily like to develop young talent, doesn't really play the rookies
Jimmy's
at
back.
All.
Literally the only one, though.
But I mean, like, besides that, I found the exact excerpt that I was looking for from Cal's book, where he said, the key for all of them, and really Cat is in this, is to build from strengths while also developing new parts of their game. I don't want them to try things in games they are not capable of, but once they've developed some proficiency, they can't be scared to do it in a game. I don't think Thibodeau's like that. I don't think Thibodeau's like, you know what, this isn't really a facet. You know what, we're gonna develop it, but not use it. Tibbs is probably a guy, I want this done, and boom, that's it.
I don't know. We've seen Cat still develop as an offensive player. I mean, he's still getting better as a three-point shooter, shot over 40% from three this year.
Defensively.
Okay, but what I was going to say is, again, we saw the usage go down, and maybe We've seen what Anthony Davis has done in New Orleans. Be mm-hmm. the guy on a team. Maybe Kat's seeing that, thinking that he is a very similar player to Anthony Davis and wants to be able to produce that. Defensively, I don't think it's... I think Kat is a guy that doesn't have a lot of strengths defensively, mm-hmm. and he did have a better defensive year. I don't think that's anything where he can be upset about. Karl-Anthony Towns was a terrible defensive player in his sophomore year and his rookie year, and now he got a little bit better. He's still not great, but he still got better. There was still an improvement mm-hmm. in his game. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is the usage. He just had a great year, 25 points per game, and then goes down to 21 points per game, and he only played about 100 less minutes this year. So again, this is something where his percentages were better, he was a better shooter this year, he was at least more dynamic on the offensive end, yet his numbers were not where they were in his sophomore year. I think that's the biggest thing, and maybe, again, we've talked about Thibodeau, he's a defensive guy, doesn't have a lot of imaginative offensive sets. This could be something that Karl-Anthony Towns, as an offensive guy with his best potential being offensively, is not being fully used. I think that's something where the strengths might not be playing up. Dave, how do they change that, or is that changeable? I mean, would you go away from what worked last year, you know, getting you to be a playoff team, and focusing solely on Kat, or would you just go with what works, which was mainly, for the majority of the season, Jimmy Butler
focused?
Jimmy
Butler carried their ass to the playoffs. I mean,
Butler was hurt.
Yeah, and that's how they almost dropped out of the playoffs. They were the number three seed with mm-hmm. a healthy Jimmy Butler. Number three seed in the West. Think about that. That's ridiculous how far they fell off because their one player in Jimmy Butler was hurt. Tibbs made the right move in saying Jimmy's how we win games. Mm-hmm. He wasn't wrong. I think where he fell off was just completely like killing all motivation for Karl-Anthony Towns. You saw stretches of games where he just didn't care. He was out on the floor, and there was zero effort being put in. He got benched multiple times for it during games. That's why if you look at his minutes, they dropped off. His usage dropped off while Jimmy wasn't, you know, while Jimmy was healthy. When Jimmy was hurt and we watched it go back, like, oh, Kat can still ball out, guys. Remember that? Kat's pretty good this game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a motivation problem. It's depressing if you're Kat when you're being told, you're good, but you're not good enough to get us there, so you're now riding on Jimmy Butler's shoulders.
It is mm-hmm. It is funny, though, looking at the 17 games where Jimmy was injured. They went 8-9, mm-hmm. And again, you say they were at 3 and then almost dropped out of the playoffs. That's true, but again, we know how tight that was from 3-8. But still, they did almost fall out. They were 8-9, so about 500, but you do look at the numbers that Kat put up there. They were incredible. 25.2 points per game, 12.6 rebounds per game, 2.5 assists per game, 1.2 blocks per game, 0.8 steals per game, 85% from the line, 42.9% from three, 54.1% from the field. Again, we know the monster that Kat is offensively. I think Kat even had the highest scoring game in Minnesota Timberwolves history in that stretch as well. Maybe it's just something where Kat wants to prove he's the guy. Again, he was the number one overall
pick
for Minnesota.
But that gets you exactly where it got you at the end of last year, watching the playoffs. 8-9 mm-hmm. record in those games where Kat had where he had performances that were above career average. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying. That's what I'm seeing is Jimmy Butler, successful team, mm-hmm. playoff team, and they are well-rounded and positive. Kat, great individual performances. Yeah. But overall success as a team, he's not able to finish that.
But what if he's just saying, and maybe this is something where, again, maybe he needs a player like Jimmy Butler, but maybe it's something where Jimmy Butler shouldn't be on this team. Maybe he's giving them an ultimatum, or maybe this is mm-hmm. what it will come to, of Karl-Anthony Towns or Jimmy Butler. And that's maybe what Karl-Anthony Towns is going to say is that, you know, again, we can win. We have a valuable player in Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler is not going to work with me. We should get a player that's going to work with me, like DeMarcus Cousins worked with Anthony Davis, like Drew Holiday worked mm-hmm. with Anthony Davis. Maybe that's what this needs to boil down to is maybe they need to build this team around Kat instead of building this team to just make the playoffs, because maybe Karl-Anthony Towns thinks so highly of himself that he can take this team to the playoffs with Wiggins, with a great point guard, not Jeff Teague, mm-hmm. and with a guy that could stretch the floor, maybe like a Nico did.
You know what I find really funny? Last year, Jimmy is a Chicago Bull, right?
Yes.
Locker room problems all over the place. And with that, it was Fred doesn't have control of the locker room.
Yep.
This time, we're talking about a relationship that's skewed, but what's the difference here? Jimmy Butler is a coach that's in his corner 100%. There's no way Tibbs, A, doesn't have control of the locker room, but B, is not going to go against Jimmy. So for me, this isn't a Kat like a, hey, you know what, trade me or Jimmy. It's a, this relationship is screwed. It's not we can't build on this because mm-hmm. you're in this guy's corner and Jimmy gets his, insinuating a little bit, but like Jimmy gets his way, you're his guy, I want out. That's what I think it is. Not a you or me.
Do you think it's Wiggins and Cat on one side?
It could be.
Well,
it was
the rest of the Timber Bulls on the other.
It was D-Wade and Jimmy in the Bulls.
There's something, too, with Andrew Wiggins where they were saying that he might be pushed out, where he might be the odd man out. He was upset with his usage. And one thing, too, you look at Andrew Wiggins' performances in those 17 games, his points per game went up. He was at like 17.7 on the season as a whole. He was at 18.9. When Jimmy Butler was out, his percentages from the field went up 2% went about 1.5, went from 43 to 45.5. His 3-point percentage was above league average, went from 33% to 37.9%. Even his free throw percentage went up from 64% to 68%. So Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns performed better without Jimmy Butler. The team didn't, but the two players did. So, again, what would you rather do? Would you go with youth, or would you go with Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau? That's the question that I think this might boil down to. Because, yes, this team made the playoffs. Yes, they broke the streak that Minnesota was, I think, out of the playoffs for 14 straight years. Mm-hmm. But does that rely to a conducive team? Does that rely to three great guys with talent? Mm-hmm. Or does that relate to a team that's welding together? So far, hasn't worked out in at least with the year with Jimmy Butler.
And that's why I'm just going to throw this out here is, are we going to look back at the hiring of Thibodeau and saying, hey, this was a horrible hire for the T-Wolves, mainly because I look at it, I'm just bringing back the yes man. Derrick Rose comes back. Now, Derrick Rose did ball out a little bit in that playoff.
I'd say he earned his shit. You don't talk shit about Derrick Rose.
D. Rose comes back, or bringing in Taj Gibson, Jimmy Butler. It's like, and if I was Cat, I'd be like, whoa, I thought this was my team. This is not my team anymore. This is not the T-Wolves. It's the Timberwolves.
I'd say the difference is the head coach knows that he can take those four guys into the playoffs.
And get Nate
those four guys can get in the playoffs, yes.
Well, it's funny, too, because 5 months ago, guess what we had?
Yeah,
we had the topic that only got 752 views. Go check out this video. is Tom Thibodeau the right coach for the Timberwolves? Mm-hmm. What did we say?
I don't remember what I said.
I said no.
I said
this was not going to be conducive.
We all said no.
We said no because this was, again, a team
that
was
defensive.
5 months ago, December 11th, 2017.
That's a long time ago.
This was just, this is something where they were 6-11 in the West. Mm-hmm. They were in the fourth seed. They didn't show exactly a great growth. Mm-hmm. This was The defense still wasn't there. It's just something that maybe he doesn't fit the NBA coaching style, like we agree. Maybe he sees players like James Harden going with a coach like Mike D'Antoni that fits his personality, and look where the Rockets are. Look where LeBron was, at least with Ty Lue. Again, Ty Lue's not a great coach, but LeBron's a little bit more happier with Ty Lue as a coach. We look at what Steve Kerr does for these players. I mean, it's something where maybe the coach isn't the right fit, and maybe him picking favorites like Jimmy Butler, maybe him making Jimmy Butler the focus of this team is going to end up hurting Minnesota in the long run. And it's clearly surfacing as Karl-Anthony Towns is not having a great relationship with Minnesota. So let's get into the thing, at least the details of this topic. Will Karl-Anthony Towns be traded by the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I'm going to lean towards yes by like 51%.
Wow.
I'm completely in the middle, but I'll lean yes a little bit.
Okay.
The interesting thing I wanted to throw out there about this, though, is the first team I'm thinking about is the Clippers. And the reason why I think about the Clippers is back in January, there were talks that the Clippers proposed a blockbuster deal that involved Blake Griffin for Cat.
Yeah.
And the T-Wolves said no. So what I'm thinking this time around, what if it happens where T-Wolves ring, 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 hey, Clippers, you were interested before, and Jerry West goes, oh, how the tables have turned. Like, now they have an extra draft pick. Do you want to trade both draft picks for Cat? But Jerry West can now be in the driver's seat to maybe swindle the T-Wolves like he swindled the Pistons to take Blake Griffin.
I mean, it's entirely possible. Assets are there, but what does Tom Thibodeau care about assets? Mm-hmm. He don't. He wants players who can, come play for him and compete for the playoffs.
Like a DeAndre Jordan?
That'd have to be a sign, but yeah.
If he accepts that player option, DeAndre Jordan for Cat?
I don't know. That's asking a lot. I honestly think that he will...
Developing
players. I think he'll stay. I think Cat stays. I think Wiggins might be the odd man out, or Tom Thibodeau's the odd man out. It's one or the other. One of those two guys. I think Cat's too unique to give up, even if he's angry. We've seen players get angry at situations. Kristaps didn't even talk to his own freaking team for like a month. So, I think that he needs to vent his frustration because he had a disappointing performance in the playoffs, and he feels like had they correctly utilized his talent, they wouldn't have gotten bounced so quickly. I think there is a fair point to what Ricky said about the imbalance in the locker room and the potential favoritism, but at the same time, you have to understand that Jimmy Butler is a better player than you. Jimmy Butler is a guy.
Is he?
Yes.
When I mean, Carl Towns
sorry,
is
when
20.
Game on the line, like tie
Jimmy
game.
Butler's
yes,
clutch as fuck.
But, yeah. Okay, I'm not disagreeing that Jimmy Butler is clutch as fuck. But are we talking? Yeah. Are we talking about next season? Or are we talking about who's more valuable to a franchise?
I mean, that's
I would say Carl Anthony Towns is more valuable to a franchise.
He's younger.
I'm not saying that one guy can hit shots right now. I'm not saying that one guy's at more of a prime position and one guy's a great two-way player in Jimmy Butler. Right. But one's Carl Anthony Towns.
No.
I mean, this guy is a seven-footer with great athleticism that's shooting from three.
Yep.
I mean,
at a high percentage.
This scoring output from Carl Anthony Towns, again, he had two bad games in the playoffs, but he's still in his first playoff appearance. And again, this is against a great Houston team. Carl Anthony Towns still has miles to grow, and he just put up 25 points in his second year, and his percentages were better in his junior year. So, again, I think Carl Anthony Towns might be at least more valuable.
The question is, how far gone is this relationship? Is it mendable, or is it so far gone to where it's like, fuck it, we got to trade Cat. We got to get him out of town.
I think the problem comes down to his game's so one-sided that Thibodeau has, like... you can only deal with someone who's such a net negative on the defensive side for so long. Yes,
especially when you're Thibodeau.
You can ignore it for part, but yeah, Thibodeau side, I can see where he's coming from, and I can see the lack of growth in year two under Thibodeau from him, where it just comes to the point where he's like, look, I'm going with Jimmy. He's the guy who got us here.
Yep.
He's the guy we're going to play through. He's a better ball handler, and he is a dynamic playmaker.
Two-way player.
I got this. All right, I got this. We all brought up great points, and I think my trade will help fix it.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying this is going to be something that's going to happen.
Yeah, make
but
that
I just
shit
will
work.
Throw this out there. We've heard Anthony Davis's names in trade rumors before, correct? What's the one team that's been valuing Anthony Davis?
Boston.
Huh. Weird. What's Boston's problem right now that we see them facing?
I mean, I don't see any problems. They're rolling.
What's one problem we see them possibly facing next year?
Warriors.
Kevin Durant.
Where are all these wings going to play? Brown?
So many wings.
Jason Tatum?
So many wings.
Gordon Hayward? Where are these guys going to play? Are they all going to be able to play and get playing
time?
They
play 1-4, baby.
Now, Tom Thibodeau loves defensive players, right?
Yeah.
So, Jaylen Brown goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Carl Anthony Towns goes to the Boston Celtics. And
these fans from the Celtics are going to murder
and
you.
Minnesota gets the Sacramento Kings pick in 2019.
Jesus Christ.
And then also... The Celtics have the Memphis pick in 2019. We just talk about Memphis being a dumpster fire. So Memphis will either you get Memphis pick if it's 9 or later in 2019. You get it if it's number 7 or later in 2020. Or you get the Memphis pick
unprotected,
unregarded in 2021. So you get two first-round picks, Jaylen Brown, for Karl Anthony Towns. And you look at this Boston team. What's Karl Anthony Towns' biggest deficiency?
Defense.
What has Brad Stevens done so well?
Cover
he's
up
made
holes in the defense.
Young kids look great defensively, and he's covered up holes in young players.
Yep.
So, what if I told you, and this is now starting to sound like an ESPN 30 for 30.
Yep. What if I told you?
Irving comes back, plays point guard.
Mm-hmm.
At the two, weirdly enough, you have Jason Tatum play. Or, you know, let's put
Gordon
Hayward there.
Hayward, yeah.
Kyrie Irving plays the one. Gordon Hayward plays the two. Jason Tatum plays the three. Karl Anthony Towns plays the four, and at the five, you have Al Horford, who can move that ball around the offense.
I mean, Cat would sign off on a deal like that in about a second, maybe a second and a half.
Where are the problems in the trade?
The problem is that the Timberwolves getting Jaylen Brown doesn't make them a better team.
But it also gets you a player that's still young. It gets you a player that showed a ton of promise.
This oh my
is,
God,
again,
yes.
Jaylen Brown's been a great
but
player so far.
But the not there.
What do you
between
mean?
Jimmy, Jaylen, and Wiggins.
But... that gives you the option now to trade Wiggins if Wiggins is unhealthy or unhappy.
For
and
what?
And you bring in another big, or you bring in a guy that can stretch the floor.
Let's go try to chase another cat.
But Cat's not happy there. And you get a guy that's at least going to fit. Again, I understand that, again, it's a lot to do.
You're trading for Jalen Brown to be a Wiggins replacement, so you can trade Wiggins to find a Cat replacement. Do you see what you're doing here?
But the Cat that you have doesn't want to play.
The Cat in the back.
Again, I'm not saying, hey, did I ever say this is going to happen? I said this is an option. Did I ever say this is going to happen?
No.
I never said this is going
to
happen.
No, I'm just trying
to. I said this is an option.
I'm still got.
I'm not saying this is going to happen. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to stay. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to say, why did you trade Karl-Anthony Towns? He's one of the best bigs and up-and-coming bigs in the league.
Yeah,
I think
don't cry on his ass.
I'm throwing out something that might be able to happen because at least value-wise, it does work out.
Yes, I agree. They're both highly
valuable
players.
Jalen Brown, two first-round picks for Karl-Anthony Towns?
I think Boston would say Jalen Brown and one first-round pick for Kat. But that's sort of because Jalen Brown's been balling out since he's...
But if you're Boston, you fix your wing problem, you get Karl-Anthony Towns.
And what now you wing have problem. Their wing problem is they have too many good wings.
Exactly. So then you fill out your positions at the 5 and the 4 of Karl-Anthony Towns.
I mean,
your wing problem still.
But the problem is
fixed.
I would rather trade for Anthony Davis than Kat.
But Davis isn't
going to
be traded. They're not trading AD.
We don't know.
AD, they're a playoff team. AD is their guy. They just signed AD. AD's locked up. Why are they moving AD? They don't need to move AD.
It's the freaking Pelicans, man.
What does that mean?
Does it have to make sense?
Yes. The Pelicans have been a fairly decent run franchise for the past 2 years. They got DeMarcus Cousins. If they bring back Boogie Cousins, there you go.
If they can bring him back, then yeah.
That's a team that's probably, you know, 50 in the Western Conference next year. So
I agree.
I think that Karl-Anthony Towns on this Boston team, you can take out the Warriors like that. Can you not?
Kyrie Irving,
Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Karl-Anthony Towns,
sorry,
and Al Horford.
I got to see that before I believe it. Like, I'm not – the Warriors and LeBron, like I said in our Eastern Conference preview, I picked Cavs in 7 because, I mean, you don't pick against LeBron.
I'll throw out a funny one for you, all right? Here we go. We're bringing Caleb back to Minnesota.
Oh!
Caleb and Larry Nance for Taj Gibson, Karl-Anthony Towns in the 8th pick goes to Minnesota.
And their future something.
Future J.R. Smith. I don't know.
Jesus.
But there's one funny for you. I mean, I think that there's not going to be a deal going out because there's no value for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't value Karl-Anthony Towns. Even if he's going to get a max contract, a player like that deserves a max contract. It's like trying to trade Anthony Davis. It's like trying to trade
DeMarcus
Cousins.
You will never get equal
value. DeMarcus Cousins.
Except for Paul George, which apparently worked out.
Yeah. That trade doesn't look terrible that DeMarcus Cousins won now, but when it first happened, we were saying Sacramento were idiots. Because we don't know where to value these great players. Mm. So Karl-Anthony Towns, what?
No, I'm honestly remembering back to the Boogie trade, and I was like, I don't know. I thought we were pretty even on that one.
No, I trashed that one. Oh. 21 minutes on solo podcast. But no, again.
You did do a solo podcast.
It goes down to we don't know how to value these players because, again, Karl-Anthony Towns is 22 years old. If he develops a defensive game, he's better offensively than Joel Embiid. Is he not?
Yes.
So if he develops a defensive game, how is he not Anthony Davis? How can he not be better than
Anthony Davis is a defensive player of the year candidate for the last X years and will be for the next X years.
But if Karl-Anthony Towns is better offensively, again, Karl-Anthony Towns is only 22 years old. Again, if he's able to still develop this offensive game, be a player that shoots 50, 40, and 90 as a big,
I understand what he can do offensively. I don't think he ever gets close to league average on
But
defense.
If he goes to Brad Stevens, Boston's department of turning players into defensive gods... How could he not? I'm just saying.
If Tom Thibodeau couldn't teach this man defense, I know Brad Stevens is a better coach than Tom Thibodeau, but Tom Thibodeau is a coach for just renowned defensive knowledge.
But he doesn't know how to coach players. That's the whole argument that we're boiling down to, is that he doesn't know how to relate to Karl-Anthony Towns and these young players. That's what we're boiling it down to. Brad Stevens has proven that he can work with young players, that he can work with guys that have at least personality issues. I mean, Isaiah Thomas.
Thibodeau should have just gone to Memphis.
He should have.
Why didn't we think of that earlier? Mm-hmm.
He should have. But, I mean, look at the head case that Isaiah Thomas turned out to be after he left Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He was great in Boston. Look at Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder's a complete head case. Didn't hear a single thing out of him when he was in Boston.
Avery Bradley.
Marcus Smart is insane. But Marcus Smart also is a great positive for
you
Boston.
You meant insane as an insult there, I'm pretty sure, right?
Marcus Smart just beat up players when he was beat up fans when he was at Oklahoma State. Marcus Smart was a little bit of a head case back at Oklahoma State. He's shown even in Boston a little bit to be a little bit of a head case, but he's been doing it protecting teams.
He gets in people's heads too. Yeah.
Brad Stevens is valued players.
Yep.
If Boston gets Karl-Anthony Towns, you get, I'm going to say it because I said it even at the start of the season, mm-hmm. you get the best big man in the league. I'll say it over Joe, and I'll say it possibly over Anthony Davis. Not right now, but he could develop to possibly the best big in the league.
So I got one trade I'll throw out
there. I'm not saying right now. I'm saying potential.
All
right. Does Cat not have the potential to be the best player in the league?
We'll see.
He shoots 60, 40, 90 as a big?
Let me know what you think of this trade. This is with the Clippers.
He's like 55.
I finally worked one out that works. So the T-Wolves would get DeAndre Jordan, Pat Bev, and whichever Clipper pick you want. I'll go with the one that's on the bottom. The Clippers would get Jeff Teague, Karl-Anthony Towns, and the T-Wolves pick. So it's like, you know what? We're swapping these players, Jordan and Beverly, for Teague and Towns, and I'll give you one of my top lottery picks, but I get your first round
pick. Sean got laughed at this.
Hell no. What the fuck?
Where's Do you think they're remotely even in value?
Do you know who Karl-Anthony Towns is?
I'm just trying to find something.
It would be the two picks this year and then Jeff next year.
Jeff Teague is more valuable than Pat Bev.
The thing that is weird about this Clipper thing is, do they have enough value to get Karl-Anthony Towns?
No.
Will they want to budge from both of their picks?
No. I would trade both of my picks
and a next
13 futures.
Now, one future.
But would the Clippers want to do
I'm
that
being
because
dramatic.
Of their whole... Yeah.
But the weird thing is, I think that that trade, if it happened... I think that Timberwolves team is better.
Well, because Pepe,
I think Pepe and DeAndre Jordan
but who wins
on that
the trade?
Roster. Long term, probably the Clippers.
Is it close long term?
I don't know.
No,
we don't know.
Depends on is Doc the guy to bring him somewhere, or do they move on from Doc?
I mean, Cat is going to be playing second fill, the Doc's son.
I appreciate the effort, Ricky. I'm not saying
do
you, don't.
I want to hear. Do you think that this Timberwolves team would win? Would have a better chance at winning with Pat Bev and DeAndre Jordan than Cat and Teague.
Defensively, they'd be disgusting.
I mean,
how would they not be? Defensively, they'd be disgusting.
Jimmy Butler, Pat Bev,
Taj Gibson,
and DeAndre Jordan.
Unreal defensively.
You got one wing you got to worry about, and Wiggins, and even he is athletic enough to be an average defender.
Yeah, I mean, you put him on the worst one through three.
It's incredible. That would just be sick.
But I don't think they take down the Warriors. I don't think they take down Golden State. You had Karl-Anthony Towns to Boston. That team's winning the NBA championship for the next 13 years.
You mm-hmm. say I don't agree with that, but okay.
Real quick, I'm just going to throw this out there. Karl-Anthony Towns' line this year, 54, 42, and 85, is better than any shooting line that Anthony Davis has ever had in his career.
Yeah.
And also, Karl-Anthony Towns has played 82 games in every single year.
How many 50-20 games does he have?
I don't know.
How many does Anthony Davis have?
56. Anthony Davis. I'm not saying Anthony Davis isn't the best player right now. At least the best center and best big.
Best big because I think Boogie's the best center.
Best big in the NBA right now. I'm not disagreeing in that. But also, I'm just saying
he has potential because he's an offensive genius.
God. Offensive guy. You can teach a 22-year-old kid defense,
hopefully.
He is
so smooth for his size, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Let us know what you think about a Karl-Anthony Towns trade. This camera's going to die in about 3, 2, 1. Imagine if I called it. Anyways.
I knew you weren't
going. It's not even recording. Anyways, that's going to wrap up.
I see the red dot,
That's going to end the Karl-Anthony Towns talk.
I'd be upset if it wasn't.
Ricky, I appreciate the Clippers trade, but I don't think value outlines.
I think that the Clippers, not that exact trade, but I think a trade with the Clippers will be most likely because the Clippers did show interest before when they did have Blake.
Does it happen, though?
Yes. I'm going to say I'm still going with my 51% that Cat gets traded.
51%?
Yeah.
Nice right now, way to hedge your bets there, buddy.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm on the fence, but I'll lean a little bit to the yes side.
David, does it happen?
No.
What's team most likely?
Thibodeau is going to get...
No, he asked which team is more likely.
Which
Thibodeau. Team Thibodeau.
Toronto Thibodeaus. Any team that sounds most likely, or is it just not going to happen?
It's just not going to happen at all.
I think if a team is most likely, there goes the camera. If a team is most likely, it's going to be Boston. It's not going to happen, though. If Karl-Anthony Towns is going to stay in Minnesota. Anyways, that's going to wrap it up. Let us know if you think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be traded, if this relationship can be repaired. Anyways, that's going to do it here for the Fantasy Break Podcast. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. Also, don't forget to check out mostvaluablepodcast.com. You can check out our shops and get some MVP merch. We're going to have some Patreons next week. Hopefully, Jake and hopefully Will. As well, the new patron, we were supposed to have him on last week or last month. We're excited to have him on this week, this month. Jesus Christ,
weeks, months.
This has been
time flies.
A rough podcast because we've done, I think, over 6 hours of podcasting
in 1 week.
We
in
had
the past
two last
weeks.
Week, we had two this week.
Yeah, so
oh
about
my God.
6 hours of podcasting, maybe even closing in on seven. 7 hours of podcasting
and those drafts
in the past
were
2 weeks.
2 hours each.
They were a ton of fun.
So, yeah, there's 4 hours, and I think we had two other hour episodes. Uh-huh. So, maybe 7, 8 hours.
of podcasts, and we hope you've been enjoying them. We're glad to be doing them. We're going to get a one podcast week next week, hopefully, unless some crazy news happens, like Karl-Anthony Towns getting traded. But anyways, that should do it. I think I did all the housekeeping. Thank you again for helping us have our best 2 months back-to-back. We're super excited about getting more content as the June 21st date of the NBA draft comes around. But for Dave Oster, for Ricky Wimmer, I'm Sean Anderson. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter @MostValuablePod for more great podcasts.